Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. The woman has got walk-on music. You know she's a friend of the show. She's family. I want to welcome Karen Pastana, Tennis Panorama, join for the first time in 2025.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for the music, as always, and Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you, and, of course, Happy New Year to your husband.
Greg, why you have to go there?
New Year to her husband.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Happy New Year to that gentleman.
He's sleeping, but anyway.
Yeah. All right, I have to start something off here, because believe it or not, there is something that I did not know about you. Maybe I should have read more articles about you, or people, you know, talking about you, but I didn't know that you had a name that the folks in the tennis community call you, or you've had it, or maybe it's not that, you know.
Which one?
I read something where they called you, they said your name, and then they said, a.k.a. Courtin Karen.
Correct. Years ago, no one has called me that in at least 10 years.
Well, wow. I would have come up with a better one, and I can see why you put it on the shelf for 10 years, because I was like, Courtin Karen? Come on, we can do better than that. But I saw that, and I'd never know that about you.
Oh, yeah, that's a long, long time ago. Long time ago.
Hmm.
Yeah, probably because of the court hopping, you know.
Okay.
When I'm at a tournament, whether I am there as a journalist or a fan, I like to hop the courts. I don't like to stay in one place unless it's a big match, that like a final or semi or something like that. I like to hop around the courts because I like to see what's happening on court, not from a studio, not from a TV. So that started with that.
Okay. Take that, John McEnroe.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically,
she wants to see for herself. She don't want to hear from you.
She's got comfortable. She's bringing comfortable shoes to the majors.
And if you, sneakers, please. No sneakers, always.
Yep. And if you happen to meet her at the tournament, you better have yours on as well. It's Karen Pastana, Tennis Panorama News, and she is social. Always find her at Tennis News TPN at Tennis News TPN. It is underway. The first major tournament, and American Sloane Stephens made a quick exit. My goodness, already
gone.
What's
up with
that? I know, right? It seems like she's getting these types of draws where she's getting the top seed or one of the top two seeds or three seeds in the first round. Well, that's what happens when your ranking is not that as high as it could be. But, you know, in all honesty, I think the fact that she won the U.S. Open back in 2017, life is good for her, and she can live off of that one major for the rest of her career and life.
I see, and I don't know if this is a fair statement or not, but the intestinal fortitude that tennis players used to have, I don't see it as rampant throughout the sport. Maybe it's because of the money they make early on if they have some success, but, you know, we've talked about this before. Ash Barty dipped out, and she was number one in the world. You know, Naomi walked away for a little while to deal with some personal issues, but she's back. But now she broke up with her boyfriend, or I don't know what she had. It was boyfriend, okay. But it just seems like they reach out to the other options they have sooner than we've seen in the past. Is that a fair statement?
I would say it's fair. You know, people, I think this generation, they want a life besides having a career in some sport. At least I can say that about tennis. I can't say that about every sport. But also, too, there are fewer options for women in professional sports that make the money that tennis pays.
It's true. Very true. With that said, let's dive into the draw for this tournament, shall we? And let's talk about Naomi Osaka. What do you make of her going into this tournament? What are her chances of her making it through the first week?
Well, here's the issue. We don't know how serious her injury is, or if her abdominal injury is still, you know, hurting her. We have no idea. So it's tough for me to make a decision on how she's going to do. But her first round match is a repeat of last year, and that's against Caroline Garcia. And, you know, former top 10 player here, Caroline. And they both hit the ball pretty hard, and, you know, the points will be short, I'll tell you that, because of their hard hitting. But I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about this first round match for Naomi. And when you have the question marks about her health, well, you know, in all honesty, I think it's going to be tough for her to get out of that first round match.
Let's stay on the women's side and talk about a couple other ladies. And this is not one you thought I would bring up, but Iga Swiatek.
Oh, Iga Swiatek, Well, Iga, well, she's in the quarter of the part of the draw where she would probably face in the semis. Let's see, let me just get my draw thing out here. She's in the same half, in the same quarter of the draw as Jasmine Paolini and, let's see, Emma Navarro. Oh, yeah, so Iga, you know, this is another thing with Iga. Iga hasn't, since the whole doping thing, she doesn't seem as confident as she could be because she's so used to being in her bubble and just going out and winning, but now she has to deal with, you know, media distractions, so to speak, or distractions in general, because everybody's questioning her about, you know, what happened, what's going on, what's going. She's so used to being. How can I put this? Even though she was number one, she's so used to being kind of hidden and private that her not being able to be as private as she once was is, I think, affecting her play.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
And that's something. And then there's, of course, now Coco Gauff has had a number of wins over her, a recent one at the United Cup. Thoughts about that and about Coco's chances coming into this event?
Coco, well, I'm going to say I think that she can at least reach the semis. But who is waiting for her in the semifinals? Probably, most likely, defending champion Aryna Sabalenka. Now, yes, Sabalenka is totally, totally on fire, especially on the hard courts and whatnot. But people seem to forget that Gauff beat Sabalenka in the final of the U.S. Open that Gauff won. So you never know. But Coco comes in here with confidence, high confidence. So you never know, as they say.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline this morning with Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama News. You want to follow her, especially at all times, but especially when a major event is going on. Are we still on the court? I think Riley Opelka, just finished all 6-11 of him. Good win for US. What does it mean to have this guy healthy and back on tour?
Well, everyone's like, oh, he's a serve bot and whatnot, but I enjoy watching him play, and he moves really well for someone who is 6'11", although I really think he's 7 feet. I really do think he's 7 feet, and just saying I don't want to say I'm 7 feet. But but he moves around the court really well for someone that tall. So, but it's kind of fun to watch him. He's at least he had to withdraw from the final he was in last week with some issues, and at least we know he's healthy now. So back to being healthy. So he got through that first round match. We'll see what he can do.
It makes me want to ask: has there ever been? I ask this to the two of you: has there ever been a 7-foot tennis player of note?
No, but Ivo Karlovic was 6'10". And I know that...
John Isner.
Yeah, well, Isner is actually shorter than Opelka by a smidgen. So I know you're like okay. They're both the same, but I don't think there's been one at 7 feet. But no. I really do believe though that Riley Opelka is 7 feet tall. It just doesn't want to say.
All right. Well, here's my story of this upcoming season, and you know how I feel about that guy. And Skinner is one thing, and we can talk about him. But my story is I want to see the return of Nick Kyrgios. I know he's had some knee injuries.
Yeah.
I want because see that's the dude who gets under the Joker's skin.
They're going to be playing at the same time.
I know, but I want to see him. They get past the Australian. I want him ready for the French. I want him ready for Wimbledon, and I definitely want him ready for the U.S. Open here.
Greg, they played doubles together. They played doubles together.
I don't care, but when they play singles, though, it's a different deal, right? Come on.
Oh yeah, this is true. Well, the thing is, though, Kyrgios gets under the skin of a lot of players.
That's what I want.
But he's also bros with a lot of players too. So, it's fun to watch. Whether you love him or hate him, he can be so fun to watch.
That's
and you think to yourself, if he had put all of his concentration and effort into this sport, how much better he would be.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about that, Skinner and Djokovic. They've made sure that these guys are on opposite ends of the draw, so they possibly could meet. But the seasons in front of both of these guys. I'll keep my personal opinions to myself, but your thoughts on what could be Joker's final season and where we are with Skinner right now in his career.
I have to give Sinner some props at the U.S. Open when his pre-tournament news conference and talking about the doping and whatnot, and he made a statement and the monitors for the news conference were trying to cut the media off from asking any more questions, and Sinner's like, no. I'm going to answer questions. And he sat there and answered questions. I'll give him props for that. Now, he's now going to be in April, he's going to be dealing with another court issue in terms of these doping allegations. The WADA basically cleared him because the drug that was banned was allegedly in some massage cream that his trainer was using on him. Now in April, he is scheduled to be at the Court of Arbitration of Sports, said that they would have a hearing on this in April in their headquarters. So we'll see what happens with this. But Sinner seems to be playing well. I mean, he's not letting this really affect him. And the U.S. Open, he won the U.S. Open. You can get through a major dealing with all this. You know, you got to give him some credit there. But,
Absolutely. Wrapping up here with Karen, before we let you go, we got a couple of minutes here. Thoughts about Joker. You shared something with me about Djokovic that turned a light on. You have an assumption what we may see this week, the next couple of weeks.
Well, the next couple of weeks, well, for me, I think Djokovic is, of course, concentrating on the majors. I mean, he's right now at 24. And I really do think that this being his favorite major, one he's won the most 10 times, if he can win this major, I think it'll be mic drop, see you later, I'm retired. Because there's nothing more for him to accomplish. So all of his efforts are going to be into these majors because he will, if he can win that 25th major, that record is his, like pretty much every other record seems to be. Well, most, not all. I can't say that. Federer has the most Wimbledons, but and of course Nadal the most French. But
right.
He's concentrating on the majors. That's his prep. He's prepping for these majors. That's all he really wants to do. Yeah. He doesn't care if he's number one at this point. I mean, he does.
No, he wants. He wants that 25th.
Major, that's
exactly.
It.
He wants Serena looking up at him.
And he got his gold medal last year.
Yeah. The only tournament he won the entire year, the only thing that he hadn't had a gold medal in the Olympic Games.
Yeah. My apologies to the tennis community. I kept calling this guy Skinner. I don't know why. I knew it was Sinner. But anyway. And we haven't met Alcaraz?
Oh yes, Alcaraz. It's so funny. With all that's going on, and Sinner, and Djokovic, and Kyrgios, it's like Carlos Alcaraz, no one's paying attention to him. People forget that if he happens to win the Australian Open, he will become, at 21, the youngest man to win all four majors in a career. People forget he's won, well, two Wimbledons, one French Open, one U.S. Open. So if he wins the Australian Open, he will have made some history of his own.
That'll put a drink on a coaster.
Yeah,
all right. Listen, Karen, as always, we thank you. We'll check back with you next week since this thing is a fortnight. So you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you, as always, for getting up and joining us.
Thanks, Karen.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
There you go. Karen Pacina joining us.